are tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship with Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm your announcer, Terry Tackett. I'll turn it over to him. Hello, Pastor Whitaker. How are you doing today?
Hi, Terry. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. We're located at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our phone number is 740-272-8711. Our web address is prospectccf.com. Good to have you here out there today. And if you want to call in at any time, we are at 740-339-9444. Just keep it clean, happy, and we'll have a great conversation. Good to be here today. I've been running around like a crazy person all day. Most of my grandchildren are showing at the Delaware County Fair this year and doing their 4-H projects, and they've got everything from rabbits to cows to pigs to their, and then still projects. They're just really busy. My granddaughter, Lauren Van Gundy, was crowned Delaware County Junior Fair Queen this week, and that's always exciting. Oh, yeah. She's in her first year at OSU here in Marion, and it's just a very exciting time for her. Exciting time for all of them. The kids have done, just really proud of the kids, just really, really proud of them. You know, I want to talk about something a little bit today. One is the flooding in North Carolina and South Carolina. There's so much of that going on. And it kind of takes me back to what are our basic things that we should be doing as people in taking care of one another when there's disasters. And just in everyday life, when you really think about it, I've had some interesting conversations this week. And one conversation that came up was, we were talking about the social care system, which comes up a lot, and it was just we were just talking about it in general, and it was interesting. The thing that we talked about the most was somehow this whole system got transferred away from the church that should have been doing it, and it's picked up more and more by the government. And, you know, for many, many years, the church took care of its people and its own. And I think one of the things that happened was, there's probably a few things that happened, but one definitely was the fact that less people were going to church, so then you had to go outside of the church to take care of those people that needed it, if you knew about them, or they had to have a place where they could go. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really impressed with, and maybe I have some Amish brothers and sisters living out there listening. I don't know if they have radio. I think they do have radio in most, but I know they don't have television. But, you know, the thing that I watch them, and I see how they work together. You know, house burns down, they all go in and build a house. Barn burns down, they build a barn. Somebody has they self-insure. If something happens to one in the community, they all come together and take care of the medical side of it. Mm. Somebody's down sick, they take turns going in and taking care of them. You know, they have no need for nursing homes. They had what they call a Doty house. Do you know what that is?
No.
A Doty house is, you'll see it sometimes in an Amish community. You'll go out and you'll see the big house, and then on the side of it, you'll see this little cottage that's usually attached to the side of it. And what happens is usually the oldest child inherits the farm, or whichever one is, for whatever reason, is designated to do it. And at a certain point in time when all the kids are raised and the other families are growing, the grandparents move into the little house, and that's where they're taken care of until the time of their passing. And they don't tax the community for help. You know, they do it through themselves. And it's interesting because that was all they're doing, the only thing that they're doing that seems so nostalgic to us is stuff that we used to do 150 years ago. Isn't that interesting? And they seem so better off for it. And they take care of each other. They help feed each other. If one of them breaks their back, the others go in and plant their crops. And those kind of things. And I think we miss so much about that today. And when I was thinking, we were talking about that, the group of us were, how much that is missed. And then talking about, I find it very interesting, when Katrina hit, and we've had several disasters since, and now we're in the hurricane that hit North and South Carolina. Everybody says, you know, they're waiting to see what the government response is. And half the time they're waiting to see, so they'll know whether they got a political fodder, depending on who's in office, to jump on how well they did or didn't do. Because you've seen that yourself.
Yeah.
And what happened that. You remember it was really funny. It wasn't funny, but I mean it was, you know, when Katrina hit, everybody was all over Bush for a slow response. Well, then when the next, and it slips my mind, the next hard thing that came up. People
were
watching.
Wasn't it Harvey? Well, I think it was Harvey.
Harvey. They're watching to see how Obama did because he going to measure up to, you know, or he, you know, and wait a minute, folks. We're here to help people, not have something to give you political fodder. And the truth of the matter is, in those areas right now, and I can tell you right now this is going on in the Carolinas, churches are flooding that area with help and with volunteers and with mud out crews. You know what a mud out crew is? In our church association, we train them in State Convention of Baptists in Ohio, and I'm sure they do it nationally too. But we have disaster response teams, and they have to be trained or they can't go. And one of them is called a mud-out team. And they'll go into the box trailer, you know, a big cargo trailer. And in that cargo trailer, they'll have things like wheelbarrows, shovels, shop vacs, hoses, water pumps, sludge pumps. And they'll go in where these places were flooded, and they'll go in, and they'll literally start pulling all the water and nasty sludge out of these people's houses and cleaning them up for them. And it is some of the most back-breaking work. Did you ever try to dig and lift mud? It's horrible, isn't it?
Yes.
But they do that. Mm. And there's so much of that going on, and it's such a story of the American spirit of helping one another. I was down in Gulfport, Louisiana, after Katrina hit, and I just could not believe the amount of churches everywhere. They were set up in parking lots, huge communities of them coming together, set up in parking lots. I had a place that we were working out of, that a church had taken its. They were in a huge storefront in a shopping center, and they had taken one huge room, and they had whiteboards all the way around it, and they had addresses, and they had people manning phone lines if people could call in, and they had all these addresses of the needs of people, and we would go in, and what do you got for us? And they'd give us a list. You know, this house needs, still has rain coming in the roof. This house has the end of the gable end of the roof is hanging out on the house. Is there any way you guys can force it back in and tie it in? Can you stable up this? Can you do that? And crews were coming in all day long. These are totally volunteer. And they're running out, and they're doing this stuff. And they're taking care of people. And in most cases, it was all out of their own pockets, or it was out of their church's account. None of this stuff's being done through the government. And we always hear about government response. And I know that when I was getting ready to leave Gulfport, I went in a barber shop because I needed a haircut before I went home. It was a rough week or two. And I sat down, and it was one of these little old redneck southern barber shops. You know, they had coon traps hanging on the walls, and I mean it was taxidermy stuff hanging around the wall. It was interesting. And the guy was cutting my hair. It was kind of funny because I needed to get out of there. I had to get on the road. And he would take the clippers, and he'd make like two swipes, and then he'd stop and stand back and cross his arms and just start talking. And then I'm like, come on, man, when are you going to start again? He'd a couple more swipes. He'd go back and start talking again. But he said when we were in there, he asked where we were from and what we were doing. We told him. And he said, I want you guys to know something. And everyone in there agreed, the shop was full, that he said, if it weren't for the churches, we'd be in trouble down here. And we don't hear enough about that. It's real interesting. We hear about, you know, the Red Cross, and the Salvation Army does a lot too. But actually, the Red Cross and Salvation Army are usually more providers. They look for people to do the legwork on the ground. And I know with our association, we have that partnership with them. when they will give us supplies many times for us to go out, because we have, it's real interesting, we have a communications trailer where we can set up phone lines for people to come in and call relatives, let them know they're okay, find housing, but they have that set up. They have trained child care workers. So say that you're going in and you're trying to get back in your house and you need to maybe go to an agency to get some help, or you need to go here, do this or do that. They have trained, certified child care workers that have been tested. I mean, they're not just grabbing anybody and everyone to watch your kids. Mm-hmm. That will watch your kids while you do that. We have what's called a laundry trailer, believe it or not, and this big long thing that pulls, comes in behind a truck, and it's nothing but washers and dryers. Hmm. And people can bring their clothes there, and they hook up to a water source. We have shower trailers, which I recently, our kids are, and I mentioned to you several shows ago, Terry, mm-hmm. we took a group of kids to Ohio Changers, yeah. where we went out and built decks for some elderly and repaired and did things. One of our shower trailers was there, and they're kind of nice because it has individual showers side by side with a sink and a place to freshen up and a shower, and there are several showers within this one shower unit. They'll just pull it on site, and people can actually walk up and they'll give you the soap and the towel and everything you need and the shampoo, and you go in and take a shower. So what I'm getting at is there's a lot of this stuff going on. And unfortunately, we're not seeing enough of it. We hear about the negatives that go on, and you'll get a blurb every now and then. But I find it interesting, the things that seem to... By the way, folks, I'm wanting you to know in here, I know most of you that listen to the station.
I was going to say, there's a second voice here today.
There's a second voice in here, and this is our buddy Thunderbolt Patterson is here today. And
Heaven high to all you fans out there. And no, I'm hearing what you're saying there, and that's what we were meant to do, is help each other.
Yes, it is.
You know, there was a time, you know, take a community to raise, and any time that someone was in trouble or the weather. Their crops went down or whatever they needed, their house burned down or whatever, all pitch in. I know I love the country. I had a little farm up in Texas. And any time that the cows get out, we kill hogs or whatever, all the neighbors would get together, you know, and those are what God meant for us to do. You know, when we don't hear that, and I know of a few churches that has programs in place with men and women to help rebuild and do different things.
Right.
But I've never heard on the news about churches coming in to do any type of rescue work.
They do most of it.
I'm just saying, though, all you hear is FEMA, the government, mm-hmm. You know, and or the powers.
A lot of times, too, like with the hurricanes and floods in Houston, remember they had all the sports stars that were, so you heard about that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
J.J. Watt for the Texans raised all that money.
Right.
But you didn't hear anything about the church.
The movie stars come in and
exactly.
do this and do that.
Build a house here.
Yeah.
Build a house.
Right. But then, you know, some of them houses falling down.
Mm-hmm,
but they did come in. But they did come in and do
it. And then when it falls down, the church is right there to take care of it.
Come on now.
You know?
Yes.
Well, you're right.
So how can we get people's mindset
I was just getting ready to say that, Thunderbolt. Why does it take a tragedy like this? Why can't we help each other every day? I mean,
we do, but I'll be honest with you. We really do, as the church really does. But I'll have to say this, that one, the media doesn't talk about it. And I'm not going to say why they do or why they don't. It's just a very blatant fact that they don't. Every now and then there'll be a blurb here or there, or some clown like me come on a radio show and talk about it. But, you know, we have a thing called a group of guys called Baptist Builders. And what they do is they build. They're builders. Now, when I talk about these programs we're talking about, the nice thing is it's open to everyone that is of any age. But most of these people are retired. Why? Because they're the only ones that got the time that can pick up and drop a hat and go.
Right.
Because you're on, once you're trained, you're on call.
Oh, okay.
And they'll put a team together and go. I mean, it's just that fast.
And you're going wherever a track is.
Right.
Okay.
When I was, we were going down to the golf after Katrina, it was nothing but church buses and trailers going both ways. I mean, everywhere. It's all you saw. Yeah, and we honk and wave at each other, and I don't know where they were going. They don't know where I was going. But, you know, we were one of the few groups of people. They trusted us enough that they led us within the razor wire zone down by the beach communities where it was cordoned off to prevent looting, but they allowed us in there to help people and to do things in those zones. But the Baptist Builders Program, what's really neat about these guys, they'll come in and they do a lot with the Amish, like the Amish do.
Mm.
You know, someone has an emergency, they're building. And I know that if you can, and it's something else we don't see a lot of, you can get with just about any church group in Ohio, and you will find different denominations all, you will find that most of them have some form of a mission team that will, when Haiti had that disaster, man, they're down there building houses like crazy. They're taking teams down there and building people's houses back. They're doing all that stuff. I don't want to hear about people's foundations doing it and this and that. That's what the news will tell you about. They don't tell you about those people that are continually going on those trips. A friend of mine's, his girlfriend's daughter was just caught in some of that, in some rebel uprising in, was she in Costa Rica? Anyway, Guatemala maybe. Anyway, down there recently, they were down there building and helping as a team. And all of a sudden, they got an uprising and they were closing roads and they're scared to death. Their teenage daughter's not going to get home. But this stuff goes on all the time. There's another thing that goes on, and this is primarily, it's done through the Methodist Church, which is called the Appalachian Service Project. And they go down into Appalachia, and there's a ton of other groups that do this too. They go down the Appalachian area, and they go into those people's, into the back of the hills, and they fix windows, and they build porches, and they get people's stuff fixed that can't do it. This stuff is going on all over this country, and we're not talking about it.
Well, you know, I need to know why we got to have disasters for them to do that. I mean, excuse me. I don't mean no harm. Now.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't mean no harm. I mean, we live in a country that by itself needs every state, most every city has got some things in it that If we come together and the churches would come together and help these people, we wouldn't have all these crimes and all this stuff going on. People in these towns, in our town, that we ain't talking about the act of God and things and stuff that happened. It's very, very good to go and help folks in other places and build up. But just like the biggest problem is in the home and in where we are. We got to do all of them same things.
Naturally.
Naturally.
Well, let me say
maybe,
this.
Maybe the news will start picking it up.
Well, here you're saying why we have to have a disaster, but what I'm trying to get at is it's going on every day.
Oh.
You're not seeing it. And here's my point. Here's my point. I can't speak for other churches, but I know that it goes on a lot. If I have an elderly person in our church and they need something fixed at their house or something breaks, we go.
I need help.
And
help Elderly Man.
This happens all over.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, it really does. We're not seeing it because we're, for one thing, we're doing it because we love people and we love God, so we're not out there announcing it like a Hollywood person.
But still, though.
But don't you somebody let people know about that?
Know about it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's all I'm
saying. There's not enough of us, maybe.
Yeah. Well, all I know is I had a couple of tragedies happen. I went to one of these churches and I asked for help. And this is the honest truth. They told me they needed an income verification. They wouldn't help me.
Okay, now let me explain. Can I explain that to you?
I thought.
Can I explain it to you?
Please. Sure.
And I know that happens. I know that, let me explain part of that problem, is the fact that most churches today, if they're using things like pantries, and they're using any governmental agencies, and they're getting funding through them, such as Mid-Ohio Food Bank or one of these.
I didn't need any of that stuff. I just needed some like external repair and internal, you know, just some small repairs.
It's a situation where the state requires they get it. Now, the other thing is, if I write a check out to you, I've got to have verification that it truly was a mission thing that I did, and I wasn't just giving people money for something we're not talking about. And that's what's so sad about it. We don't live in a world that makes things easy anymore. As far as even helping people, they make it difficult. And one of the other reasons, I'll be honest with you, is, and I see this from working in it so much, I had a guy come to me, and I'm kind of hard to pull one over on. I have a soft heart, but I've been down the road a few times. You know what I mean? I've been around that.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy came in, and he told me, he says, he has a list of all these things that he needs done to his car. It was an estimate.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in, and I sat down with him, and he said, "Pastor, I don't know what to do." He said, I had a job, this great job at the post office, and I got laid off when they laid off a bunch of people, and my wife left me over it, and now she's got the kids half the time, and my car's broke, and if I have to take them to things, and she already said if my car isn't fixed, she's going to turn me into Children's Services for not doing my job, and I'm going to lose my half of the custody, and you know how that stuff, and he's telling me this, So I go, and it was a Sunday, and I couldn't go to the bookkeeper and get anything done. I just wrote him a check. I wrote him a check. No, I think I went to the bank machine and gave you money. And I thought, you know, I'll get it later, right? That was the last I heard from the guy. He was going to get paid that Friday and be back. But here's the kicker. About 8 months ago, I'm sitting in my office. This guy comes in, knocks at the front door of the church, I walked out, and he comes in. It's an early one morning, and I'm thinking, man, I know this dude from somewhere, right? I know this guy from somewhere. And he comes in, and he lays down this estimate in front of me. It was the exact same estimate that he gave me a couple years earlier and started the same story. And as soon as he starts the story, I start remembering. Mm. And I said, wait a minute. I said, you don't remember me, do you? And he goes, should I, sir? And, you know, they always call you sir.
Very kinds of respect here. Very
respectful. Very respectful. You know, should I, sir? And I said, yeah, because you pulled the same scam on me 2 years ago. And this is one of the reasons you'll see that, Terry. And it's sad. But the truth is, I'll give you a better example. We do a summer lunch program.
Okay.
And it's for kids from babies to 18 and every day and senior citizens. All they got to do is walk in and they can eat. Doesn't cost them nothing. And we're in there one day, and this fellow was driving down the street, and he saw the sign, and he was traveling from one point in Ohio to another. He was on a fixed income. He had to go somewhere to get some testing done at Cleveland Clinic. And I don't remember why he was coming through town, but he said, you know what? He says, I don't need money. I don't need anything. He says, I got enough money for gas. He said, but, man, I was going to have to drive the rest of the way home, and I haven't eaten a thing since last night. And he sat down, and he filled up his belly, and we prayed with him, and he went on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the kind of things we need to be doing all the time. But, Terry, I'll be honest with you. Part of the reason, when I say about the church helping people and those that are around them, We used to live in a place where in America, probably 90% of the people went to church and the rest were affiliated somehow through family. And because of that, everybody knew who was in need. And everybody was able to reach out and meet that need. The problem is in America today is that we have about 30% of the people maybe in church. So the church is helping their own and they're helping outside. But because of the amount of drug activity today, the amount of people that are, we've lost our sense. In a lot of cases, we've lost ourselves of honesty.
But can I
they've
say
got part, to verify can I say where their part, funds are going.
Can I say part two of this story?
Yeah.
I was referred by members of the church to go talk to these guys.
But what I'm saying is because for some reason, Terry, and I don't know who you're talking about or what church, no clue.
Yeah.
For some reason, that church had to set up that rule that they had to have income verification because somebody was scamming them. Over and over, and you will deplete. It's just like, for instance, you come into
property. Yeah, because I didn't want any money. I just wanted, you know, some things done.
Well, that's too. They should have been able to direct you somewhere without that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, for instance, in Prospect, our ministerial association is all our churches come together, and we have this ministerial fund. Now we'll have a few fundraisers throughout the year, and they put money into that fund, and anybody can donate to it at any time. Now, we limit it to the people in our boundaries because we'd be depleted instantly if we didn't. We have to do it that way.
Sure.
So someone comes to us, and if we don't have some general guidelines, the fund will be gone in 2 months, and we won't have the money to help anybody. Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, we have a certain amount that we can help towards an electric bill. If we go above that, our fund will be gone, but we are able to help more people that way. And one of the things that we offered, for instance, is when people came and needed financial help, we had a lady that was a career accountant that was willing to sit down free of charge with them over a period of sessions and do financial planning with them to help them take their little bit of money that they made and help stretch it farther. Isn't that a good service to do for free? Because a lot of people get in trouble because they just don't manage. You know, when they get the money, they spend it. And you know what I mean? And there's that going on. So it's a hard thing to manage money and help people at the same time. You don't ever want to turn anybody away. But if the funds are, if I got $10 and I got 100 people coming to me wanting a dollar, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got 90 people that aren't going to be very happy with me if I give everybody a dollar.
Yeah.
You see where I'm at? So, but if I've got that $10 and I got 100 people coming and say, man, all I can afford is a dime a piece, I cover every one of them a little bit. And if enough other people covered them a little bit, it would get covered. And that's kind of what we get stuck with many times. It's hard to see people that are in need that you can't help. I'll be honest with you, I talk about that ministerial fund, and I can't speak for the other churches in town over this, but I know that many times we do it ourselves if the ministerial fund doesn't have the money. You know, someone's going to say, let's put it, one time in our church, and this will happen, someone will come up with a need, and I'll know something's going on, and I'll say from the pulpit on Sunday morning, we got somebody who's got a need, and I'm not going to divulge what it is, but they got in a situation and they need help, and we want you to take a special offering for that this morning. And people reach deep and they give, and sometimes you don't want to tell people. It's you want people to help, but it's not something you really want to talk about. And I remember one Sunday, I remember a guy, you know, said he was starting a new job and he needed work boots. And at the end of the service, a guy walked up to me and gave me $100 and said, find that guy that needs work boots. And unfortunately, in that particular situation, that guy took those, a family member took the money and got him work boots because they're afraid of what he'd do with it because he had a drug issue. Dadgone it if he didn't take them back to Walmart and try and cash them in for money. So the point is that happens a lot, more than you know. And the thing is that we have to be careful that we don't become jaded with that and we still keep that giving, loving spirit and take people for who they are up front, you know. But that's a lot of the reason sometimes for the guidelines. The amount of people out there that will scam churches will blow your mind. So what you've got to do is you got to remain compassionate, and you got to figure out a way to help as many as you can, and I dare I say it, as safely as you can. Because nothing hurts you worse than when I've got $1,000 in a fund to help people, and somebody comes up like this fellow that gave me the car receipt, and I peel him off $250, which took a quarter of that fund away, only to find out that he scammed me. You know what I mean? That hits me, because now I'm saying that's $250. This lady over here with two little kids that can't pay her gas bill could have used to pay her gas bill. So that's kind of where we're at. But at the same time, the church doesn't stop. It keeps giving and giving and giving. And they do. Every Sunday night in Prospect at 5 o'clock in the evening, one of our four churches has a free meal for anyone that walks in the door. And they do. They come from Marion. They come from all over. And whatever we have on the menu that night, they get. And that's what they get. And that's, so to us, that's one meal a week, at least, that people are getting that they need. We have a church in Prospect that has a huge food pantry. We used to do the food pantry, and we moved out of that. This year, we are within our school district. We're doing 230 Friday lunches that go home with the kids for the weekend that need it. 230 lunches a week, that's a lot.
Did you say you got four churches?
Yeah.
Okay.
In our little town.
In Marion?
No, in Prospect.
We're in Prospect. Okay, so how far is that?
9 miles.
Nine, ten miles, okay. Yeah.
Four churches. Okay.
And unfortunately, you know, because of the day in which we live, you know, back in the heyday of people going to church, there'd be 120, 30 people in each one of the churches every week. And, you know, now that's down to a half or third sometimes because people don't go to church. So it makes it more, your resources aren't as easy as they used to be.
Okay. Why people ain't going to church now like they used to go?
Why? I think there's several reasons. One is because we are a activity society. I'll give you a good example. When I was a kid, and they had what they called youth group in church, you know, and all the kids went, even the bad kids. You know why? There wasn't nothing else to do, so they went.
Same thing is like it now. But nothing to do. With some trouble out there.
Well, that's the whole point, though. We didn't have computers. We didn't have video games. We didn't have all that stuff to sit at home. If we were at home, we were getting the screen door yanked open and mom saying, get outside and play. So when the door came, when the church, something going on at the church, an activity, it was something to go do. And it's the same thing, you know, Sunday morning comes. Why weren't you in church? Well, we had football. Well, we had baseball. Well, we had soccer. Yeah. Well, we had, and the parents are busy. They run, and the weekend comes. And that's the other thing, too. It used to be, years ago, that most families had one person in the household that worked and one that stayed home. And the things of the week would be done during the week. You know, all the chores of the home. And today you've got two people working. Parents are working. So you only got Saturday and Sunday to get everything done that you had to do all week. So there's lots of reasons. Another reason is, quite frankly, our kids are being taught in school there is no God. And
Is that right? What, you mean to tell them? Wait, let me slow down. You mean to tell me they done took the God out of the school?
You know that.
Well, I know that. But I did not know that they were teaching them that there was no God.
What else do you
Are you hearing what I'm saying now?
What
That's
else?
Deep there, boy.
Huh?
That's deep. Teaching them that there's no God.
Well, of course they are. You know, I'll tell you something that's going on in our universities. I just talked to a young man last week, and I've talked to several kids as they go every year. In our universities, one of the first classes that most public universities are teaching now as you're an incoming freshman is they call it different names in all the schools, but it's a class on life studies. And in that life studies, you learn things that they want to essentially deprogram you from your upbringing.
Yeah,
which one of which is that one of which is that there is no God. There is no God, and the thought of it is less than intelligent if you believe in God. Man, I talk to young people, I kid you not, that get in arguments with professors that are unbelievable, and they find they're one of maybe two or three kids in a class that even believe in God anymore. And so there's your problem in people, you know, why go to church if you don't believe in God anyway, right?
If that's the case, we're stepping up in another, that's a higher deal now. That's a higher level of the fight against Christianity.
Well, I mean,
we're going backwards now.
It's
we're going
real.
To go way
Don't you think
on
it's
back.
Real?
Yeah, we're going to go way on back now. And talk
Let me give you an example of what you just mentioned. There has been an unbelievable, in the last month, slaughter of Christians all over this world. In Nigeria, in other places. And do you know that, have you seen it on the news?
Yes, sir.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I understand.
Because it's not on the news.
And they're doing that in so many other countries.
No, I mean, there's been a huge escalation of it.
Right, right. And they're doing it so, but I'm talking about here in this United States. You know.
But what I'm getting at is this. Understand this. What I'm saying is this, that if it were a concern about Christians in this country,
mm-hmm.
they would be talking about what's happening to Christians in other places.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They'd be talking about the fact that last week alone, they just burnt several churches mm-hmm. in China and arrested people and took their Bibles. We don't hear about that
mm-hmm.
because we are no longer a nation where our media wants to elevate Christianity.
That's the real frightening part of it. That's the real frightening part of it. You know, when you speak and say that there is a college or whatever teaching that there is no God. So, but that is evidence of things that have, in scientific things, of the curing of the body of individuals and the things that we need that has been denied us. This, we're talking about outer space now. You know, we're talking about outer space where we're talking about gold. You ever heard, you know what gold is? Are you understanding what I'm saying? That we're talking about the aliens. We're talking about, is there other people there? You know, we're talking about going to the moon. We're talking about going to the different planets of getting... this country and this world is built up with elements of different type of minerals.
Where are you going with this, man?
Where are they stopping doing things? I'm going where they stop doing things. If they stop, I'm going back to the government. Are you hearing what I mean? Like, don't nobody want to go here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's deep, man. So, I mean... It's deep. Let me back off a little bit. Go ahead on and let's do what we need to do. You know what I mean?
Now, what I'm getting at is that Christianity is not a popular thing in popular culture today. You asked why people aren't in church. It's not a popular thing in popular culture. We had a youth center, and I asked that we used to, halfway through the night every night, we'd invite all the kids over to the neighborhood, and they came to this youth center, and I'd do a devotion. And I'd sit them down, we'd have a little Bible time, and I asked the kids, Easter was coming up. And I said, hey, what one of you kids can tell me what Easter's about? And this boy waves his hand up. He knew the answer. I said, yeah, tell us what Easter's about. He said, that's when Jesus was born. Now, see, this is what we're seeing in today. And the church, unfortunately, in many cases, the world sees the church as just needing to be a social agency and no longer to teach and preach truth
well, that's what
and do
say,
what they did.
There's several, there's several large churches in Marion that still have huge congregations. But on any given Sunday, if you watch these people, you watch some of the people that come in, it looks more like a social gathering than it does an actual...
I think in a lot of cases it is. I mean, and I fight that as a pastor. And, you know, as here's the thing, Terry, understand the social aspect of it. First of all, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are part of what is called the body of Christ, which makes us a family. Mm-hmm. So quite frankly, we should be one big family.
Right,
but
right.
We're one big family with a mission. We don't come into the church as a big social gathering. We come to the church in sense to get our marching orders. We hear the Word of God, we study the Word of God, we draw closer to God, we worship Him, which we're supposed to do. And then the world, the mission field, is out there. It's not in the church. So we go out into the world every day to do the things that we're supposed to. But unfortunately, in a lot of cases, what the world's telling us in society is today, that they want the church to shut their mouth and stay inside their four walls. We'll take whatever charitable thing you'll do for us, but don't talk. You can't talk anymore. Just stay in your four walls. And the truth is, what they don't understand, the church is not a building. The church is the body of people that know Christ and go there for a reason. Does that make any sense?
We're supposed to, yeah.
The church is people. It's not brick and mortar. And we go out in and see the churches. There's the saddest churches that I see in the world today are those where the people show up on Sunday morning, they get their emotional thrill on, they say, I'm good for the week, and they go home, and that's all they do until the next Sunday. It's doing them no good. And it's real interesting when John talked in Revelation about the dead church and the seven churches. You remember the mm-hmm. study in Revelation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those churches were dead. God wants to spew them out of His mouth. They're hot and they're cold. They're lame. They're done, and they're not doing anyone any good. They have as Scripture says, they have a form of godliness, but they don't know the God. In other words, they know how to look godly, but there's no relationship there. It's religious religiosity. There's a huge difference between religion and Christian faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ is a walk with our God, with Christ, where we have things. He calls us to do things all the time as far as we're to be out there in the community, reaching people for Him, doing these
keeping
things.
Keeping His work, keeping
God. But what the world turns it into is religion. See, this is what happened. You see this situation that no one wants to say too much about with the Catholic Church and this massive amount of sexual abuse going on. Do you know why that happened? It happened because they were more concerned with a religious appearance than what was in their heart. If the right thing was in their heart, they wouldn't have been doing that.
Absolutely.
But they still looked religious.
Religious is a word, a divide, to divide different people to stand and do what they want to do. Baptist, this, you know, yeah, am I right or wrong? You know,
no, you're right. And the thing is, I'm not part of a religion.
Yeah. Well, I'm just clarifying what it is.
What I'm saying is that when we truly do what we're supposed to do, it doesn't take on all this religious garbage
right.
around us that right. doesn't mean a hell of beans.
Right.
What did Jesus say about the Pharisees in all their fine clothes and their high speech? What did He say about the prayers were these long orated prayers? You know, He said, get rid of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
But He said, what did He tell them dry bones?
What did He tell them?
Preach to them dry bones. Who else? Preach to them dry bones.
Who did He call?
But He said, go preach to them. They looked at them dry bones, but why did I preach the dry bones? They ain't going. But.
Still got to preach to them.
Still got to be. And if you preach to them, if you got the belief. You understand?
You got to let the church be the church, and we have to understand. Okay. One of the things that really gets me, and we're running out of time, we're about done. But anyway, one thing I'd like to say is this. I do not understand why society expects the church to follow along with societal norms when our guide is the Word of God. It's not society. And we, as a Christian, have to Just like Jesus said, you know, get behind me, Satan.
Hey.
You know, don't tempt, you know, and that's the point. We've got to follow truth. I got to get off here. Hey, we're at 209 East Water Street, Prospect, Ohio. Thank you for Thunderbolt Patterson for stepping in here today.
Thanks so much.
And, you know, just guys, come to church. You know, we're going to be a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, Bible-obedient church, whether you're there or not, but I'd much rather you were there. Sunday mornings at 9:30 Sunday school time. Worship is at 10:30. We have midweek Bible studies. We also have youth group and Sunday night service at 6:30. And we're getting ready to start Team Kid with our young kids here shortly, and that'll be on Tuesday evenings at 6:30. So we're busy, but love to come see you. Hey, have a blessed week. God bless you all. Bye.
You're listening to GH Radio 7.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of the Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.